This is Skywatch TV for September 10th, 2020. I'm Derek Gilbert. Summer of 2020 has been exceptionally strange. Besides the mask mandates and lockdowns, this has been the year that Black Lives Matter has gone mainstream, receiving endorsements from professional sports leagues, multinational corporations, and many of our churches. And that is a bit of a problem. Joining me today is a young man whose work brought to my attention something I should have caught, seeing as I wrote a book on this subject about a year ago with my wife, but somehow missed. He is the host of a program for AFA Family Radio, AFA Radio Network, each weekday at 5 p.m. Central Time. He is also the general counsel for the American Family Association. We're honored to welcome to the program for the first time Abraham Hamilton III. Abraham, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
The subject is your program from August 18th. Several of our viewers sent me links to the YouTube video of the segment that you did on an interview from back in June between BLM co-founder Patrice Cullors and the founder of Black Lives Matter's Los Angeles chapter, Dr. Malena Abdullah, mm-hmm. in which they described the spiritual basis, the foundation of Black Lives Matter. What was it about that conversation that caught your attention?
Yeah, one of the first things that caught my attention was the fact that Patrice Cullors, who's the same one I'm sure you know, who admitted that she and other BLM co-founders are trained Marxists, she said flatly that it's more than a hashtag. You know, there were people around me who were saying, oh, this is just a hashtag, and that's all that it is. And she explicitly said, no, it's not just a hashtag. This is actually the spiritual core of what we're doing. You know, she went on to say that the different things that have become really common in our society now, things like say her name when you see the NBA having these phrases all over their jerseys, she stated explicitly, and this is in her own words, you saw this program, I played her audio, where she said they are summoning the spirits of the dead to empower them to do this so-called justice work. And I said, wow. So when you have people running around, putting clenched fists in the air, demanding people who are eating dinner and lunch peacefully to say her name, many people are ignorant of the fact that the founders of this organization see themselves as summoning dead spirits, the spirits of the dead, in the tradition of the Yoruba religion, Odu Ifa or Ifa, which many Americans are not familiar with, and I don't want to misconstrue the Yoruba religion with the Yoruba ethnicity nor the language, but the religious component of it includes an overarching pagan deity. Then under that pagan deity, they have kind of a mid-level pantheon of pagan gods and goddesses called Orishas, and then under them you have another called the Egun, or ancestors that they believe to be gods.
That is fascinating to me, and this is what caught my attention, because this is a lot older than even Ms. Cullors and Dr. Abdullah believe. I mean, there are records from ancient Syria going back 4,500 years that describe the pantheon of the ancient Amorites in exactly the same way.
And it's remarkable because, you know, you listen to the program, the Lord, by his divine providence, Deuteronomy 18, warned the Israelites not to do these practices of these people, including the ancient Amorites, when they entered the promised land. Among the things that they were prohibited from doing were summoning dead people, summoning the spirits of the dead in Deuteronomy chapter 18. The Lord explicitly said, don't do this because this is abominable to me. And so we have scores of people, even Christians, even churches, even large denominations in the Protestant tradition that are embracing these things, that are demanding people to support this organization, that are demanding people to participate in these mantras and not really realizing what they're doing. And the reality is, as a Bible-believing Christian, I do not need a Marxist, anti-man, anti-Christ, ancestral worship-purveying organization to teach me how to love my neighbor. The scriptures are wholly sufficient.
Now, you are the public policy analyst for the American Family Association. As you analyze American culture, how is it possible then that not only Christian churches, but multinational corporations, the NBA, the NFL, the Major League Baseball, all signing on to this program? How is it that so many of us and so many of our friends, family members, and neighbors around us have totally missed the implications of what these leaders of the movement are openly proclaiming?
Very simply, I think we're watching the antithesis of Romans 12, 1 and 2 take place. The scripture is explicit in saying that we are, as Christ followers, not to be conformed to the ways of the world, squeezed into the mold of something that we are not. Rather, we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. That transformation process that is accompanied by resisting the ways of the world increases our capacity for discernment. What we have now is an overt, abject absence of discernment and a spiritual deadness that causes churches, denominations, multinational corporations, all to gobble up the things that are transpiring in the world, many of them in order to ingratiate themselves to the world. And that is literally, this deadness has made them privy to embrace what is clearly, what are clearly practices that are demonic at the root.
I wish I could say this was a new thing, but our research shows that it is not. But keeping the focus on where we are today, knowing that God didn't tell Moses to avoid these practices, not because they didn't work, but because they did, that when you call into the spirit realm, something is going to answer, and it's generally not what you think it is. What impact, and again, recognizing that we only look into the spirit realm, as Paul said, like we're looking into a mirror in a darkened room, what impact, what influence do these spirits have that are being summoned on what's taking place on our streets?
Well, I'll give you a perfect example. In the conversation where Patrice Cullors is speaking with Dr. Malina Abdullah, who's not only the co-founder for the BLM Los Angeles chapter, but she's also a professor at the University of California, she explicitly stated she speaks with a woman by the name of Waukesha, who she did not meet in her body. You're probably very familiar. This is a woman who was found dead in a jail cell in Los Angeles. Well, this Dr. Abdullah says she speaks to Waukesha. She's learned her personality. They laugh together. Patrice Cullors talks about getting familiar with these spirits, that learning their persona, learning their personalities, that causes her to have a greater accountability for what she's doing in work. It's clear, from my standpoint, that she has, and as clearly laid out in Scripture, is engaging in practices that are inviting demonic activity that is inspiring her and in many ways empowering their organization to do what they're doing. So simply put, they're calling on demonic sources of influence and potency to enable them to do the things that we're seeing. That's why you see, and I've said this on my radio program, cries for justice that are void of the cross, they will rapidly descend into the pursuit of vengeance. And what we're seeing largely is people attempting to respond to a justice plea absent of the cross. Proverbs 28:5 says, wicked men cannot understand justice. Institutionally incapable of understanding justice. So what is it that is being pursued? Well, the scripture says explicitly that where do anger and hatred and murders, where do they come from? They come from a heart. So you have the combination of this demonic impetus engaged with a pursuit of justice, I put that in air quotes, void of the cross, that makes a potent cocktail, if you will, for the type of violence and chaos and things that we're seeing play out in our streets. I think it's pretty evident the results of what's happening right now in our country.
So literally, we are seeing demonic workings, spiritual summonings of these demonic entities, not the spirits of the ancestors, but these spirits of the demons and the doctrines of demons literally being worked out on the streets of America.
Yes, I think we're witnessing that. And I think that is one of the major ways you can explain a lot of the irrationality that is involved. You know, because if there was a true concern for the lives of melanated people in many of America's inner city communities, why is there complete absence of any outcry when you have a 3-year-old shot dead outside of his house in Chicago? Why do you have an absence of an outcry when you have children literally being slaughtered in the womb, you know, in addition to those outside of the womb? It shows very clearly that their interest is not the preservation of all lives that are sacred, including those of darker skinned people. It's only one particular context, and it's a context of being used to foment chaos and anarchy and destruction. It's not one that's seeking to preserve the sanctity of human life.
Where then do we go as a church? I mean, if we look at this through spiritual eyes and we see the source of this uh, this movement, then how do we then properly engage and try to move forward as a nation? How do we come together knowing that in Christ Jesus, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. We are all one. How do we get to that point when we've got churches that are embracing this demonic movement?
Yeah, well, firstly, the Spirit of God penned through the Apostle Paul that we are to have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, rather to expose them. That's part of the reason why I did the program that I did, because there were lots of people who contacted me following it that said, I had no idea that this is what was going on. There were many people that said, man, I repent. I was shouting the mantras. I was, you know, using the hash. I was doing all of these things. I repent of that. So exposing the truth is one part of it. The second thing, I encourage people to live locally. The unfortunate reality, we have people that are watching the news and watching these other things, and then they go looking around in their own neighborhoods and communities for the types of things that people are saying that are happening on a national level. When the truth is, when you look around where you live, you may not have these things happening. Then, if you do find that you have tension based on ethnicities and skin color and things of that nature, thank God that He's already provided a prescription for us to respond, especially within the family of God. Matthew 7:12, that we are to love, we are, whatever we would have someone do to us, that is how we should treat them. Matthew chapter 22, we are to love our neighbors, not just love them, but to love them as ourselves. We already have a prescription to do what's necessary. So the reality is we need a combination of orthodoxy, right believing, accompanied by and joined with right practices. And if we find ourselves out of step on either one of those points, we're not believing properly or we're not obeying the scriptures properly, what we need to do is to repent, humble ourselves, and resubmit to the authority of scripture, the authority of God's word, and to obey Him with praxis. Orthodoxy and orthopraxis will allow us in living locally to love our neighbors as ourselves. And that is the way the body of Christ should go forward in addressing these issues that are percolating in culture.
Well said. Speaking of living locally, you said you said something on your program that hit me as one of those forehead slap moments, like, you know, why didn't I think of that? What happens in your house is more important than what happens in the White House. What prompted that thought, and how do we put that into practice?
Yeah, what prompted that thought is understanding that the centrality that God Himself places on family. You go all the way back to the book of Genesis. The first institution that God created was the family. Before there's a church, before there's a monarchy, before there's any other form of government, the first institution is the family. Now, God could have done that any way He wanted to, but He chose to do it this way. If we understand that and we go forward, you see scripture like Psalm 127, Malachi chapter 2, that unfortunately, many of the things that we see unfolding in a negative way in society, they are highlighting and amplifying the deficiencies that are percolating in our homes. The reality is, in many of our churches, there's such a vacuum created in the multi-generational discipleship reality, because the first institution that God created is a family, and the parents, the Christian parents, with the father as the head of the home, is primarily, not secondarily, primarily responsible for the evangelism, the catechizing, and the discipling of our offspring. But what has happened is that we've often attempted to export this to schools or to churches and youth pastors. And what happens is that they're institutionally incapable of doing the job well. The most fundamental component of disciple making is living life on life. It takes time to make a disciple. So by having an absence of the time that's necessary, there will be disciples made. The only question is, in what way? Will they be discipled in the manner of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or would they be discipled in a fashion to conform to the ways of the world? And unfortunately, we see the opposite happening. And that's why these things are taking hold, because you have people who have a cry for justice, as I referred to earlier, but because they don't have the corpus, the substance to be able to respond biblically and appropriately, they end up globbing on to the world's efforts to do things that really that are intrinsically Christ-centered. For example, where does a cry for justice and rightness come from, void of a biblical worldview? Even in order to articulate the term justice, you have to borrow from a biblical and a Christian worldview to do so. Because if we're just random amalgamations of biological matter that happened randomly over time and combined with chance, then why would there be any sense of justice? The term of justice inherently infers that there is a just one. If there is a just one, there is a just or moral law. If there is a moral law, there is a moral lawgiver. But we have people that are attempting to secure the ends of understanding that there is a just one with justice, excluding the cross of the just one.
It's almost like a spiritual virus in that it takes the form of justice as defined in the Bible, but it's hollowed out and replaced with a payload that is anything that is antithetical to the design, the desires, the mores of the one who created us all. Heard a wise man once say that the smallest battle formation in this spiritual war is the family, and that is why the enemy is taking such spend so much effort, time, effort, and energy trying to destroy it. That brings us back to Black Lives Matter, and as you pointed out, the anti-man, anti-family orientation of that particular organization. I know you have to run. We appreciate you taking time with us this morning, Abraham. Abraham Hamilton III, General Counsel and Public Policy Analyst for the American Family Association and the host of the Hamilton Corner, weekdays at 5 p.m. Central Time on American Family Radio. Abraham, thank you again, and I hope we can talk again.
Thank you, Derek. It was a joy being
And we thank you for watching as we keep watch. I'm Derek Gilbert. This is 5 in 10 from Skywatch TV.
The world is on an end times collision course, and time is short. But the chronology of the future is finally unveiled in the Antichrist Final Solution Special Collection. In this incredible offer, you'll receive the new book by best-selling authors Terry James and Dr. Thomas Horn, Antichrist and the Final Solution, the step-by-step roadmap to the chronological events unfolding now through to the return of Jesus Christ, including the imminent arrival of Antichrist and a totalitarian one-world government. You'll discover the truth about what's fomenting chaos in the streets, the arrival of the false prophet, the coming third temple, the battle of Armageddon, and your own destiny. You'll also receive the new book by Lieutenant Colonel Robert McGinnis, Collision Course, that details how America is approaching a moral tipping point which demands we change course and fight to reclaim our moral compass before it's too late. Plus, back in print for the first time in decades, Dispensations, the complete Clarence Larkin collection. This beautifully bound, oversized collectible book includes Clarence's legendary works on dispensational truth, rightly dividing the word, and the Book of Daniel. We're also including the data disc of Clarence Larkin's nearly 200 hand-drawn charts and images that reveal the Bible's prophetic timeline from the beginning to present day and to the end. But that's not all. We're also including the brand new Skywatch TV Classics Volumes 1 and 2. This two-disc collection is valued at $150 all by itself and includes the best of the most popular audio series in the history of our ministry. Now, for the first time ever, you can re-experience entire audio series like Something Transhuman This Way Comes, The Coming Replacement Humans, As It Was in the Days of Noah, Conspiracy Theory Special Edition, The Coming Zombie Apocalypse, and Psychotronic Warfare, all on two digitally remastered volumes. Also, back by popular demand, you'll receive the Best of Defender Publishing ebook collection on DataDisc, featuring 70 of the most information-packed, best-selling books in Defender history. These full-length works are in popular ebook formats, so you can read them on EPUB, PDF, Kindle, and other handheld electronic devices, valued at over $700 all by itself. Sold separately, these items hold a retail value of $940. Yours now for your donation of only $35 plus shipping and handling while supplies last. The times we live in today and the future we're headed for explained. The urgently needed Antichrist Final Solution Special Collection is available now at SkywatchTVStore.com. Order now or call 1-844-750-4985.